Thank you, Alvin, for giving us the reading of the scripture there from the Gospel of John. And if you'd like to be turning your Bibles over to the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to begin there in just a moment. Also appreciate the good prayer that Doug led us in a few moments ago, and appreciate Max leading us in those very encouraging, uplifting hymns. And if you notice, that last hymn that Max led us in, titled "He Loved Me So," proposed a good question at the beginning of that hymn. Did you notice that? That question was, why did my Savior come to earth? That's a good question, isn't it? You notice on the screen behind me, that serves as the title of our lesson this morning. And we're going to take some time this morning to examine the question, why did my Savior come to earth? Ultimately, as we just sung, we learned the ultimate reason. In that hymn, "He Loved Me So." That ultimately is the reason our Savior came to earth, because He loved us so. But did you realize that there are other reasons that Jesus Himself gave for why He came to earth? You realize that? We're going to take some time to take a look at some of those reasons that Jesus Himself gives for why He came to earth this morning. And we're just going to begin there in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse number 17. Here in Matthew chapter 5, in the context here, Jesus is preaching what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And notice the reason Jesus gave here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 as He's preaching the Sermon on the Mount for why He came. Notice, He says, "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." There we find a reason that Jesus gives for why He came to this earth. Jesus says here, as He's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, that He did not come to destroy the law and the prophets. Because at this time there may have been some who was wondering if that wasn't His intent. But Jesus made it very clear that that wasn't His intent at all. His intent was not to come to destroy the law and the prophets, but rather to do what? To fulfill it. To fulfill it. And Jesus makes that very clear right here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and in verse number 18. You see, it's important to note that the law and the prophets, the law, it was defined to give knowledge of sin. We learn about that in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20. The law, it was designed to lead toward the way of Christ, as we learned there in Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 and verse 24. And the law, it served its purpose, didn't it? It served its purpose. But at this time, when Jesus said these things, the law was in effect. And the law was still being practiced. And there were some who doubted Jesus' intent for what, the things that He was doing. And to clear all doubt, Jesus made it very clear at this time, hey, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I come to fulfill the law. You see, it's important to note that Jesus, He was born of woman and He was born under the law. We learn about that in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. And Jesus, He kept the law perfectly, didn't He? He kept the law perfectly, and the fact that He did not sin. We learn that there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15 and then in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. Both places we learned that Jesus knew no sin, that He did not sin. Therefore, He kept the law perfectly. And He fulfilled that law when He nailed that law to the cross, as we learn there in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse number 14. And the death of Christ, it established a new covenant with better promises, as we learn there in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. And we also learn there in Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 10. Again, Jesus, He came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. And we learn there in Luke, the 24th chapter. Open up your Bibles with me there, if you will, to Luke chapter 24. And in the context here, we learn that after Jesus' death, he was raised from the dead and He appeared to His disciples. And I want you to notice what He said to His disciples as He appeared to them after He was raised from the dead. Beginning in verse number 44 there of Luke chapter 24. Jesus said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. Now watch it. That all things must what? Be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Here, we learn that Jesus, he did fulfill the law and the prophets. He fulfilled all things that were written concerning him. And he reminds his disciples of this very thing, here in Luke chapter 24. So remember, when you think about the question, why did my Savior come to earth? Jesus said that he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. But we also learn that Jesus said that he came to call sinners to repentance. Turning over there to Matthew, the 9th chapter, we learn about this. And again, here in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus gives us a reason for why he came to earth. Here in Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse number 9, it's recorded, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Now notice verse 12. Notice what Jesus, how he responded to that. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Now notice this. Jesus said, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see that? You see, simply put, Jesus is informing us here that he did not come to this earth to call those who perceive themselves to be righteous and feel that they have no need for him. But he says he came to solicit the sin-sick souls who will acknowledge and follow him. That's why Jesus said he came to earth. Not to call the righteous, but to call the sinners to repentance. You see, those Pharisees in Jesus' day, they were some self-righteous individuals, the majority of them, weren't they? They were pretty self-righteous people. And I want you to notice what Jesus challenged them. What he challenged them to do, as we learn here in Matthew chapter 9. Notice Jesus challenged them to learn and to understand what it means when he says here, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He's quoting Hosea chapter 6, and in verse 6, by the way. And Jesus challenged him to figure out what that means, what that meant. You see, sacrifice, it is an outward act of religious service. But if it is not accompanied by mercy, it is hypocrisy. And Jesus, he challenged those self-righteous Pharisees to understand that, to see what that means. And then he tells them, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what Jesus came to do. That's why our Savior came to earth. And we learn about that not only here in Matthew's account, but also in Mark and Luke's gospel accounts, as we have on the handout. And Jesus, the great physician, came to this earth to call sinners to repentance. But we also learn, going there to Luke's gospel account, there in Luke chapter 19, another reason for why Jesus gives for why he came. And that was he came to seek and to save the lost. There in Luke, the 19th chapter, again, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context here. We're familiar with Zacchaeus. And you remember Zacchaeus? That little short guy in stature who sought to see Jesus. But because of the crowd, he couldn't see him. So what did Zacchaeus do? He climbed up the sycamore tree, didn't he? He climbed up the sycamore tree to see Jesus so that he could see him. And let's just pick up there in Luke chapter 19 and in verse number 5. And here in Luke 19 verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, when he looked up and he saw him, when he saw Zacchaeus, notice what he said to him. He said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Think about that. Think about that. Here Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus, but in reality, Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus, wasn't he? And as Jesus told Zacchaeus to come down, to make haste, not to delay, but hurry up, come to him. And told him that he must stay at his house. The people that saw that, they're like, "What? What's he doing? That little short guy there, he's going to go stay at his house? He's such a sinner." But notice, as we fast forward down there to verse number 9. "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham.'" Now watch it. "For the Son of Man has come," why? "To seek and to save that which was lost." You see that? Here, Jesus informed the reason for his coming to earth was to seek and to save the lost. Simply put, Jesus came to this earth. He came to this lost world to seek and to save it. And when I think about that, I'm mindful of Jesus' words that we find recorded there in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Remember what Jesus said there? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Verse 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to destroy the world, but" why? "To save it." You see that? That's why Jesus, our Lord and Savior, came to earth. He came to earth to seek and save the lost. And may we be mindful, my dear friends, of the fact that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and that there is no salvation in any other. We learn about that in Acts, the 4th chapter. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Acts chapter 4. And there in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse number 10, after Peter and John was arrested and they were addressing the Sanhedrin, notice what Peter said. Notice what Peter said to them, beginning here in verse number 10 of Acts 4. Peter said, "Let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." Now watch verse 12. Pay attention. He says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Remember that. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to this earth to seek and to save the lost. And there is, and I repeat, there is no salvation in any other. But we also learn, going back there to the Gospel of Matthew, that Jesus informed that he did not come to bring peace, but a sword. there in Matthew, the 10th chapter. Here in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 34, beginning. Notice these words of Jesus with me. Jesus said, "Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." He says in verse 35, "For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." Verse 37, Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Now think about those words of Jesus for a moment. You see, Jesus knew that in his coming to earth that it was going to cause families to be divided. He knew that. He informs us of this very thing right here in Matthew chapter 10. And it's important to note before we get any further to know the fact that although Christ does give peace, and he does give peace, we learn about that in John chapter 14, verse 27. Remember what he told his disciples? "In me you have peace." Christ gives peace, but that peace doesn't come without strife. Doesn't come without strife. And we see that here in Matthew chapter 10. You see, truth is like a sword. It'll cut and it will divide. And here Jesus declared the fact that there are going to be times when there's going to be families that's going to be set against one another. And sometimes that simply happens because of why? The truth. Because of Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus informed that there's going to be times where that's going to happen. I venture to say some of you've been involved in times like that, haven't you? I know we have. And it happens. It happens. There's times where there's going to be some who are going to, some families are going to be separated because of the truth. And when you think about the point that Jesus is making here, the point that he is making is the fact that he must take top priority in one's life. He must be number one. He must come before any family member. Jesus must always be on top of our priority list. And we need to be mindful of that. Jesus didn't come to this earth to take second place. He didn't come to this earth to take third place in our lives. He came to this earth to take first place in our lives. And we need to be mindful of that each and every day. Of the fact that Jesus must be number one in our life at all times. We must love Jesus more than father, mother, son, or daughter. And that's exactly what Jesus is declaring to us here in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34-38. And notice what he said there one more time there in verse number 37. He says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is what? Not worthy of me." Jesus says, "He who loves father or mother more than me, he who loves son or daughter more than me, they're not worthy of me." Let that sink in when you think about why our Savior came to earth. And remember, he didn't come to this earth to be second or third place in our lives, but he came to take priority in our lives and to be number one. And he expects to be number one in our lives. But I also suggest to us, as we learned in our hearing a few minutes ago, as Alvin so ably read for us there from John the 6th chapter, another reason for why Jesus said he came down from heaven and came to this earth. What was that? Do you remember? He said to do his Father's will. Notice that with me one more time, going back there to the Gospel of John. There in John chapter 6, and let's just begin, picking up here in verse number 35. And here in John chapter 6 and verse 35, we read, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." Now pay attention to verse number 38. Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And what is that? What is the will of the Father who sent him? Well, let's pick up in verse 39 and answer that question. Jesus said, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should rise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." You see that? Jesus made it very clear that he didn't come down from heaven and come to this earth to do his will. But he said he came down from heaven to do his Father's will. And then he goes on to inform us of what the Father's will was. You see, it's important that we recognize that God the Father chose the scheme of redemption to be through his Son, Jesus Christ. We got a good commentary for us for that there in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And Jesus taught that. Jesus taught this while he was on this earth, and he ultimately went to the cross and died for our sins so that that may happen. But only those who believe in Christ and obey him will have the assurance of eternal life. And again, as we learned here in John chapter 6, that's the Father's will. Did you know that? Did you know that? You see, not only do we learn about that here in John chapter 6, verses 39 through 40, but we also learn there in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. The fact that God's desire for all men is to what? To be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. God wills for all men to be saved. He doesn't desire for any to perish and to be lost. But rather, he desires for all to be saved. Again, going back there to John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We talked about that a few moments ago. We see that there. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Remember that. When you think about why our Savior came to earth. And remember, he came not to do his will, but he came to do his Father's will. Fast forwarding there to John the 18th chapter, we learn about another reason for why Jesus said he came to earth. And there in John chapter 18, in the context here, Jesus has been arrested. And he's been handed over to Pilate. And I want you to notice, after Jesus had been handed over to Pilate, Pilate was questioning Jesus. He was asking him, what have you done? What have you done? As we see there in verse number 35 of John chapter 19. And notice how Jesus replied to him there in verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." And notice, after Jesus responded to Pilate with that answer, Pilate then, he said to him, "Well, are you a king then?" And what did Jesus say? He said, "You say rightly that I am a king." Now watch this. "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world." Why, Jesus? "That I should bear witness to the truth." He says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Here we find another reason that Jesus gives for why he came to earth. And here as he's addressing Pilate, he informs him that he was born and that he came to this earth to bear witness to the truth. Think about that. You see, to bear witness to something means to show that something exists or is true. And Jesus is addressing Pilate, telling him, I was born and I came here to bear witness to the truth. You think about that. You think about that when you think about why Jesus came to this earth. And I venture to say, when you do think about some reasons for why Jesus came to this earth, I venture to say very few probably think about the fact that he came to bear witness to the truth, as we learn here in John chapter 18. But you think about that. And you think about the fact that Jesus came to this world to communicate and to demonstrate the truth. The truth. When I think about that, I'm mindful of what Jesus himself said there in John chapter 8. Go back there to John chapter 8 with me. And notice what Jesus said as he was teaching. And here in John chapter 8. And in verse number 40, notice what he said. Again, Jesus and the things that he was teaching, the truth that he was declaring, wasn't receptive by everyone, was it? Not all received that. Some even got upset about it. Even sought to kill him. And we see that here in John chapter 8. And in verse number 40, notice this. Jesus says, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Think about that. You see, Jesus, he came to this world to communicate and to declare the truth. And he did just that. He did just that. As he told Pilate here in John chapter 18, verse 37. And when I think about that, I can't help but to think about the words of Jesus found recorded there in John chapter 14, verse 6. Remember what Jesus said there? I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, when you think about why did my Savior come to earth, be mindful of the fact that he declared that he came to bear witness to the truth. And he did just that. But one more reason to remind us of this morning for why our Savior came to earth is the fact that Jesus tells us there in Matthew chapter 20 that he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Go back there to the Gospel of Matthew with me one more time. And there in Matthew chapter 20, again, Jesus gives us a reason for why he came to earth. And here in the context, Jesus is teaching the need to serve others. And he's emphasizing the fact that greatness is in serving. And as he wraps this up, he tells us there in Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see that? What a great example our Lord and Savior left us with in regard to being a servant. He was the ultimate servant, wasn't he? He was the ultimate servant. And he gave us a great example in being a servant. And when you think about why our Savior came to earth, never forget the fact that he did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Simply put, Christ came to this earth and shed His precious blood and paid the price. He paid the ransom for sin. And He came to this earth to free us from the bondage of sin so that we can have the hope of eternal life in heaven. When I think about that, I'm mindful of Paul's inspired words found recorded there in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. And there Paul said, "In Him," that being Jesus the Christ, "we have redemption." How, Paul? "Through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace." Think about that. Remember that song we sung before the lesson? Remember that question that was proposed in that song? Why did my Savior come to earth? What did we learn? Because He loved me so. Again, ultimately, our Savior came to earth because He loved us so. He came to earth to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. He came to earth and died for our sins, shed His precious life's blood so that we can obtain the remission of our sins, so that we can have that hope of an eternal home in heaven. Remember that and never forget that, my beloved brethren. And know that we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse number 19. Now that we know some reasons for why our Savior came to earth, let's keep these things in mind. And may we never forget the fact that He will come again a second time apart from sin for salvation. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 28. Knowing that, I now ask, are you ready for our Savior's return? Are you ready? Are you? If not, why not accept our Savior's invitation and be ready? For if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can make that good confession. You can confess Jesus Christ. You can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in the newness of life, and you too can have that hope of eternal life that we've talked about this day. And may we all always remember the need to always keep on keeping on. The need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised there in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We plead with you this very hour to repent of your sins. Confess them to God. Ask Him for His forgiveness. Get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour, where you still have that opportunity to do so. Remembering those reasons that we talked about this morning for why our Savior came to earth. Remember that. Don't forget that. And remember, only the blood of Christ can wash away our sin. So if there would be one here this morning who would be subject to baptism or just needs the prayers of the saints on their behalf, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song Max is Selected.